there, folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, assistant professor of theology here at the university and the director of the Concordia Bible Institute. Here we are, roaming through Romans, and we are on the second last chapter of the book. We are almost there. Chapter 15 is on the docket today. This basically transitions into the closing of this masterful letter, a long conclusion, also a long introduction to a long letter, about twice as long as the kind of letter you'd see in antiquity about this time, so far as we can tell. And we'll take a look, I think, at the whole thing. I think we can just, there's some travel plans that Paul mentions, and here we can kind of leapfrog over. There's quite a few verses, but I think we can do a quick little cruise through this entire chapter. I think it's manageable. So what I'll do then is read the text of Romans 15, and then we'll go from there. So here we go. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the nations, and sing to your name." And again it is said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Alrighty there, folks. This is Romans chapter 15. The first, but it's kind of a mixture, isn't it? A hodgepodge. We have some of what we talked about last time. Then we have Christ as the hope of both Jew and Gentile. And then we have Paul's travel plans, and then we have a little prayer for him. So it's a bit of everything, but I want to just kind of touch on these, maybe some big hitter moments throughout these four or five chunks of this chapter. So this first paragraph here, we who have strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. This is really a continuation of what we talked about in the last podcast all throughout chapter 14. Remember there, we talked about the weak and the strong and how Paul says, hey, no matter what, remember that we are all the Lord's. Whether we live, whether we die, whether we're weak, whether we're strong, we are all the Lord's. So if you're a vegetarian or not, if you're observing calendar days or not, bear with one another, build up one another, and you get some of that language here too. Although this is the first time where Paul explicitly tells us he sides with the strong, we who are strong. Paul is saying, yeah, I'm with you. I get it. I'm not following the calendar anymore. I'm eating pork chops, you know, that sort of thing. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Again, the weak being those who are convinced that even though Jesus has come and they believe in Jesus, there's still some, you know, we just never did eat any pepperoni on our pizza, and we just are so used to observing this festival, and we feel like that's, you know, what needs to be done. Even so, Paul says, just, you know, follow, at the end of the day, follow Christ's example. This is really sort of similar to Philippians chapter 2. Humble yourselves, therefore, just as Christ himself took on the form of a servant and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the same sort of thing. Verse 3, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. That is, look at the posture of Christ and keep him in mind when it comes to bearing with one another and their practicing of the faith, whether weak or strong, our other brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, whatever you do, why are you doing what you're doing? Look at it through the lens of Christ. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me, one who took the hits and humbled himself and bore with us, not just matters of eating and drinking, but all the way to the cross. That's Psalm 69, by the way, there in verse 3, and that's often used in the New Testament to refer to Jesus. So when Jesus is on the cross and they offer him wine to drink, they offered him gall or wine. I think that you get a quote of that in some of the Gospels. Where else? Zeal for your house has consumed me. You know, when he overturns the money-changing tables and we get a quote there, as it is written, zeal for your house has consumed me. And they use it also for Judas. As it is written, let another take his office. In Acts chapter 1, when they have to cast lots for another disciple to get 12 disciples again, that falls on Matthias. Psalm 69 is used quite a bit. It's a very rich psalm. So, hey, I got a podcast on that, actually. I probably did that maybe, I don't know, 3 years ago now or something like that, a couple years maybe. But nonetheless, yeah, Psalm 69, very rich there. And then we have this, not only just Psalm 69 quote, but in verse 4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. Great moment here for the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not only the source of instruction still for the Christian, but also the means whereby one receives that instruction. It's not some sort of outdated, just mere historical background material that you can consult only if you're a specialist and you really care about those things. No, this has everything to do with the person and work of Christ and you. Those of you who are in him live and move and have your being in him. So those are constantly, that's in that, that's even, I mean, I love this in the context of well, these foods we don't have to worry about not eating anymore or not. No matter where you come down on that, I mean, Christ has fulfilled the ceremonial law, but there's nothing here about, well, then just abolish all the book of Leviticus out of your Bibles. No, everything was written for our instruction, even though you're not even sacrificing because we have the sacrifice in Christ, or even though we're not eating particular or refraining from eating particular things because now Christ has fulfilled that. All of those things still, even fulfilled in him, are written for our instruction. Take a good look, you will see him there. Take a good look, you will see yourself there. And that goes for you and me and both Jew and Gentile. That's where Paul kind of transitions here. As you can maybe see in your English Bibles, he starts quoting a bunch of Old Testament verses. That's to further this point about this is now all of you are welcomed, made near, brought near in Christ. And so he quotes from the Old Testament. I love these quotes that are in verses 8, 9, where is it, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, again, Christ became a servant in verse 8. He ties all together this Jew and Gentile thing once again by these quotes from the Old Testament to say that this blessing in Christ, being received in Christ, being brought near in Christ, is for both Jew and Gentile, and he does it in a way that keeps both sides humble, so to speak. So, for example, at first we get this quote from Psalm 18, "Therefore I'll praise you among the Gentiles," David says. So there he has David, and all right, score one for the Jewish people. And yet, very next quote, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." Okay, we're together in this. Okay. "And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him," that is, Jew and Gentile. And then again, he has something from Isaiah here, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope." So again, it's this package deal. And yet, it was in God's master plan of salvation history from the Jews, or for the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse rising forth is de facto beneficial to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles benefit, it's de facto because of God fulfilling promises to the Jewish patriarchs. It says that you can't have one without the other. And Paul does these, again, a quote from the Psalms, a quote from the writings, a quote from the prophets, and a quote from the law. It's just this kind of, Deuteronomy. So you have this, all these different witnesses. The entire Old Testament is talking about this Jew and Gentile being brought near in Christ. So remember that at the end of the day. And he ends there with verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." And that really, there's a sense in which that's kind of like the end to Paul's main part of the letter of Romans, that verse 13 there, chapter 15, verse 13. This is kind of like tying the bow on the culminating theological statement there. This whole, remember, Jew and Greek, this started off way back in chapter 1, this whole for the Jew first and also for the Greek. He's tying it all together to say this, receive one another, both Jew and Greek. This is God's plan of salvation. He's worked this all out, chapters 9 through 11, love one another, chapter 12, the governing authorities in 13, 14, receive one another, and 15, here we go, just welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And for here on out to the end, verses 14 and following is really like the close of the letter. It's long, and we have plenty of things to talk about still. But it's like the end, it's the closing of the letter, and it's definitely, I think I mentioned, it's the longest. I mean, it's like a chapter and a half of Paul kind of saying, no, okay, I'll see you later. Hey, you know, by the way, this, that, you know, you ever, the long goodbyes, you ever have those friends or family member, it's like, oh man, it takes forever to say goodbye to you. It's kind of like, that's Paul in Romans, okay? It's like, we better start the goodbye process. Now, I don't know, if you have kids, you know, you got to kind of warm them up to the idea that, okay, a couple more toys or a few more minutes or whatever the case is, and then we're going to go. You got to warm up this goodbye. Well, Paul in Romans is totally doing that. It's a long goodbye. So how does he work that out? Well, we'll do that right after the break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcasts, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Romans chapter 15. Getting near the end here. In fact, we just basically, as I mentioned before, the break, starting the end to the letter, really. I think a lot of modern scholars on Romans would kind of agree to that, that once you get to chapter 15, verse 14 and following, this is end time stuff. So we're going to move through some of these sections pretty quickly, but I think I'll try to just kind of give you some of the nuggets here and there of, I think, things that are you don't want to miss as we wrap this up here today. And then also we'll do probably another one there on chapter 16 as well. So verse 14, he has this. Okay, well, let me start with this little section here. Verses 14 to 21 is very similar, by the way. This is another reason we kind of know you're getting to the end, because it's strikingly similar to what we saw in chapter 1, is introduction. He's repeating a lot of things here. So he commends them. Okay, I'm satisfied about you. I commend you. He's kind of buttering up. Remember, he's never met these people, so he commends them, and then he says he's an apostle of the Gentiles. He gives that in the intro too. He gives it here in the conclusion. He talks about, hey, I've been wanting to come over. Just can't, you know, gas in the car. I just can't write. You know, there's these sorts of things that are hindering me from visiting you. I'm indebted to you. I desire to be with you for some sort of mutual benefit. And then he closes with a prayer here. All of those things were back in chapter 1, too. So this is very much a kind of bookend, or the fancy term is inclusio, when you end the thing the way that you began it. So you're definitely, he's wrapping things up here. But another thing, I guess, that's kind of striking here, is I'm looking at verse 14. I'm satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. This is actually very much the opposite of how Paul described the ungodly back in chapter 1. The ungodly were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malicious, all these things. Paul then says, hey, I'm glad that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct. See the change that comes by way of the gospel that he just preached. And he's very, I guess you could say, diplomatic moving forward here. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder. See how he's, this doesn't sound like Paul in other letters. He's kind of being that, well, you know, if I might have offended anybody, not offended, but if I might have, you know, gone a little bit overboard, that's because of the zeal I have for the gospel and things like that. He's talking to people he's never met. And so he throws in some qualifiers here that you might not see in other letters. I mean, you get into Galatians and that guy's off the chart. I mean, Paul's letting him rip and he's saying all sorts of stuff that's uncut and uncensored. Here's a little bit more of the, you know, this is why I do what I do. And, you know, he's really buttering him up because, well, we're going to learn here. He's hoping to go to Spain and he needs their help. So we'll get to that in a second. But this is where he defends his ambition to preach the gospel and to do so really where the gospel hasn't been preached yet. Now, he's not opposed in principle to kind of you can kind of see a few places in Acts where he's active even where the gospel has already kind of taken root and things like that. But as you move down here to verse 20, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. So he's very much looking forward to a new opportunity for preaching the gospel. And so verse 21 is that last Old Testament citation So that, this is what Paul's up to, so that those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. I love that because he quotes, this is the very last, after like over 50 quotes from the Old Testament throughout his letter, the very last one comes from Isaiah 52, which is the fourth servant song, the suffering servant song. I just love that because it's, I mean, what a better way to tie a bow, what better way to tie a bow on everything that he's kind of done through the Old Testament than to say, this is what it's all about. I preach this and I preach the one who suffered on their behalf, so that on their behalf, so that those who have never been told of him will see, those who have never heard of him will understand. And then this last section is just his plan to visit them. Okay. Now, why has he been hindered to go there? Well, there have been some theories about this and all that sort of stuff. Because that's what he says in 22. This is the reason why I've so often been hindered to coming to you. But really, I take that to mean that he's been preaching the gospel in other places. He's been fulfilling the gospel, as he mentioned, from Jerusalem to Illyricum. I still don't know how are we supposed to say that in English? I don't know. You do the best you can. You know, when you read these things, you just got to say it with confidence, and then people think you know exactly what you're talking about. So that's what I go with. It's a good tip. I learned that a while ago, and it's working out all right, I think. But now, since I no longer have any work for room in these regions, I am going to see you in passing as I go to Spain. This gets back to some of the beginning stuff, right? Paul is probably in Corinth when he writes this letter. And at first, he's going to go back to Jerusalem. That's verse 25. At present, I am going to Jerusalem bringing a bunch of cash to the saints. All right? But, so it's weird because Corinth is kind of like the halfway point in between Jerusalem and Rome. You're like already halfway there. So what are you doing going back to, you know, but he's going to go to Jerusalem first, and then he wants to go to Spain, preach the gospel there, but only through the Romans, through, and also key point here, through their support. He's like, I'm sure that you're going to support me with a little bed and breakfast and a couple meals or two on my way out there, right? That I will be helped on my journey there by you once I've enjoyed your company for a little while, verse 24, and then he says it again, verse 28. So he needs their support for this to happen. And this is also, this gets a little bit also at Paul's desire to raise a bunch of cash. I mean, I'm thinking again of, so this is what he does. He's going to drop off money in Jerusalem, and then he's going to go to Spain, but by way of Rome, and then he needs more support. It's kind of a way to saying you will, it's like a stewardship sermon almost. Paul's given them a little taste of the stewardship side of Paul, and this is something that Paul was eager to do. In fact, when you read in Galatians 2 that Paul has to defend his credentials to these people in Galatia, he says, yeah, I shook hands with James, Peter, and John, Peter, James, and John, who seem to be pillars, and they certainly are. They gave me the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the circumcised. Only they asked us, verse 10 of chapter 2, to remember the poor, the very thing, Paul says, I was eager to do. Paul's all about raising money for the poor, and it's just such an inspiring gesture for our own circles, our own congregations. And Paul was all about this throughout his ministry, raising funds for the poor in Jerusalem, for the saints, taking care of one another. And he sees that this kind of collecting cash really rooted in the fellowship that we already have with one another in Christ. For him, it's not just a matter of being shrewd financially. It goes back to the fellowship that exists one to the other in Christ. And on that note, it was a no-brainer for him that this is just something that we should be doing constantly. It's one of many ways that the love for one another in the church pours out to one another and then overflows into to use the Old Testament terms, widows and orphans and the poor and so on and so forth. Okay. Finally, I guess I could, verse 27 is a good way to summarize that, by the way. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. We should all be Jew, Gentile, whether Jewish Christian, Gentile Christian, we should all be on the same page here as far as we share in the spiritual blessings, let's share in the material blessings as well. It should, one, the second should flow from the first there as we as we kind of work together in that regard. Finally, Paul just says this beautiful little prayer here at the end of chapter 15. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Notice how Paul ends on a note of peace, and it is very much that peace which surpasses all understanding that has been at the heart and center of his proclamation throughout the letter of Romans, that gospel, that power of God that he's not ashamed of for Jew and for Greek, for in it is the righteousness of God coming by way of faith in Jesus Christ, giving us peace that passes all understanding. Amen and amen. That's the end of chapter 15. That's also, I think, going to be the end of this podcast. A little shorter this time. I tell my students sometimes I probably went a minute or two over time, so I'll pay those minutes back here we're just a couple minutes shorter than I usually am, but don't hold it against me. I think we did some justice to very different pieces of chapter 15, but it's also very much central to how Romans kind of does what it does and how Paul preaches the ways that he preaches. So I hope that kind of helped to further tighten some any loose threads that are out there, tie together and maybe even and strengthen them all the same. So nonetheless, that's all the time we have for this session of Christ in Every Word. Please consider mentioning this podcast to your family and friends so that they too can learn more about God's Word with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org. and clicking on our contribute page. Until next time, my friends, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman, wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord.